I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Well, I have the dates for our C-SPAN presentation to be aired. The C-SPAN state sovereignty class will air February 18th at 9 p.m., February 19th at 4 p.m., and February 20th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on C-SPAN. I'm really excited about this. I think this is a great opportunity to reach a whole new audience of people with the understandings of state sovereignty. It's amazing to me, this opportunity, and I just want to let you know that I have taken this to such heart. I just hope and pray that this class said what it needed to say and was worded the way it needed to be worded. And I really, really hope that we will be able to reach a whole new group of people who are interested in this state sovereignty issue. Well, I'm interested in learning more about it. So please, I hope that you will watch it. Even if you've attended this class, you know, I hope that you will watch it. And we will be publishing the notice press release about this. And, oh man, I'm nervous. I was more nervous teaching this class than ever. And because I understand the importance of what we're doing, this is just an amazing opportunity. I also wanted to mention to you, last week we talked about the Ninth Circuit and the Texas solution to the Ninth Circuit and the Texas solution to these judges who are completely out of control. And of course, the solution is what? State sovereignty. And in the class about the Texas solution to the Ninth Circuit, which is basically just we're sovereign and we're going to make a compact to ensure that we are in compliance with federal law, to ensure that our state is operating constitutionally. And I misspoke, and I told you that the Senate bill's name was 512. The Texas Senate bill is actually 514. And I wanted to correct that because I'm really, really hoping that we will continue to call Senator Bob Hall on this issue. I'm hoping that we will continue to contact our representatives and say, look, I want you to contact Senator Hall. I want you to be a part of this process. I want you to take the I'm going to Tennessee tomorrow, so I have Tennessee on the mind. I want you to take this Texas compact, and I want you to present it to our legislators. I want you to make sure that our state becomes a part of this interstate compact. And I want us to continue to do that. I mean, it's not just enough to call one time. It's not just enough to say, hey, do this. We must be, as our framers said, jealous and vigilant. We must be persistent. That's how the lobbyists work, you know. Your congressman pays attention to the lobbyist because your lobbyist is persistent. You don't need the money of the lobbyist if you are in their face all the time. So please, let me be clear. I'm asking you once again this week to renew your vigor to defend the borders of your state, no matter where you are, from this federal mandated invasion of refugees and felons. I'm sorry, if you are an illegal immigrant, you are a felon. And if you are hiding, harboring, housing, or hiring an illegal alien, you are a felon. That means the city councils of these sanctuary cities are felons. I'm not xenophobic. I'm asking you to enforce the constitutionally created federal laws and uphold your bargain in the contract. So, Senator Bob Hall, email, call him, tweet your support for Senator Bob Hall and SB 514. Go back to my Facebook page and click on the link so you can send SB 514 to your local representative. No matter what state you're in, you can be a part of this. This is not Texas dictating policy. These are the states that are saying, hey, we want to make sure that we are in compliance with federal law. We want to make sure that we are operating according to our promise in the constitutional contract. We want to make sure that we are ensuring that the laws of the United States are faithfully executed. The ones that are constitutionally made, right? The valid laws. And so Senator Bob Hall's Twitter is @Sen, S-E-N, Bob Hall. His email is bob.hall@senate.texas.gov. And his phone number is 512-463-0102. I have the link to SB 514 on my Facebook page. I will repost it today. Please. We have an opportunity to make a difference. And we've got no right to complain. And we've got no right to feel helpless. We've got no right to be off guard. We've got no right to sit back and just take whatever they give when there are solutions like this that are available to the people. It's not just enough to make one call. It's not just enough to make one tweet. Let's stand with Texas. Let's stand with the Constitution. And let's do what's right. Let's do what we are supposed to do in our obligation to 49 other states. No matter what state you're in, by being a member of the union, you have an obligation to 49 other states to ensure that immigration laws are upheld in your state. To ensure that the federal government is not usurping its your authority in the state and abusing the power that's been delegated to it, and to ensure that other states are holding up their end of the bargain as well. I had a question on Facebook based on that show about the Ninth Circuit and the Texas solution. Which congressman can do something about these rogue judges? Every congressman can. Any congressman, your congressman, can file articles of impeachment against these justices. And then your congressman can hold town hall meetings and press conferences with Breitbart and with Fox and with CNN and with MSNBC or anybody who will hear them and say, look, these are articles of impeachment against these judges, and here is the list of their bad behavior that demands their removal from the bench. Any congressman can do that. Your congressman can do that. It only takes one. It only takes one with the tenacity to make it public. See, here's the problem with our congressmen today. They don't use the resources that they have. Your congressman, just by nature of being a federal congressman, can get on the news anytime he wants to, can have a town hall meeting anytime he wants to. He can make anything he wants public, or she. You understand the gender neutral thing. We don't buy into that paranoia here. So why aren't they? Of all the things that we talk about here on the show, of all the things that we post on Facebook, of all the things that we write about on the ChrisAnnHall.com page, all these things that are so vitally important to the preservation not only of your liberty, but of the liberty of our future, of our posterity, why aren't they talking about these things publicly? See, if your congressman was really upset about what was happening in Oregon and Nevada, he'd be on the news right now talking about it. If your congressman was really upset about the Ninth Circuit, really upset about rogue judges and activist judges, they would be talking about it. They would be holding their own individual investigations. Your congressman can do that. Your congressman can conduct an internal investigation. He doesn't need the approval of anybody. He represents you, doesn't he? He doesn't represent Paul Ryan. He doesn't represent Jeff Sessions. He represents you. He doesn't need their approval. But he needs your demand for compliance. And we need to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to make sure that the Constitution is followed and the Union and the Republic are intact. See, when the Constitution is ignored, then the Constitution has been dissolved. The contract has been broken. The Union is dissolved. We're just simply a bunch of states pretending to work together. And it's not just enough to call once, tweet once, send one email. If it's worth sending one, it's worth sending one a day for 30 days. Let's make that a plan.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I need a warning siren. A warning buzzer for political deception. Because here we are again, in the midst of political deception. The people of Michigan, the people diligent and vigilant in guarding the education and the autonomy of the states, warned about Betsy DeVos. Warned that she was not who she said she was. She is not who the Republican establishment portrayed her to be. She is a Common Core proponent. In spite of her words, the people of Michigan who have been our watchdogs for Common Core have been fighting Betsy DeVos for over a decade and her love for Common Core. But this sort of brings a question that puzzles me. Why do the lefties oppose Betsy DeVos? Why are they protesting her so vehemently? I don't understand their opposition. Betsy DeVos has a history of supporting Common Core, which the lefties love. She has a history of forcing Common Core on private schools, which the lefties love. She has a history of forcing voucher recipients to submit to Common Core, which the lefties love. And in her first act as education secretary, she issued a dictate to the states to continue the unconstitutional ESSA. The lefties usually love the feds exercising pretended non-enumerated authority over the states. So what's the big problem? What is the big issue? Why do they hate her? Or do they? I mean, seriously, methinks thou dost protest too much, Mr. Lefty. Is it possible that they understand the political psyche of the people? That if the left are opposed to it, that the right will push it? And by feigning opposition, they're actually gaining what they wanted. I'm going to show you how that's already true. But is shifting from teacher union control to federal control a big enough change for the lefties to be angry about? Why are the lefties fighting someone like Betsy DeVos who aligns with their beliefs and conservatives are cheering? Why don't they bipartisan cheer DeVos? They're going to get exactly what they want. Now, if your congressman tries to give you the propaganda published by Lamar Alexander of Tennessee about how ESSA, Every Student Succeed Acts, actually ends federal mandates and ends federal interference in state standards, then you're wrong. You need to know that they are wrong. Absolutely wrong. All of this whole PDF put out by Lamar Alexander, I don't even know what date this is, there's no date on this, is just propaganda and lies, complete lies. ESSA does not end Common Core standards. It does not end the federal mandate on states to adopt Common Core. It does not end federal interference. Now, in full disclosure, states are not mandated to take Common Core unless they take federal funding. So that's always been the hitch. The very act that created the Department of Education mandates that the Department of Education cannot impose standards on the states. So they don't. This is not a federal law that says you must have these standards. This is a federal law that says if you take our money, you must have these standards. So in full disclosure, the solution to the problem is that the states stop taking federal funding and then they don't have to have federal mandates. But we're not gravitating away from federal funding. We're actually gravitating to more federal funding, which means more federal requirements and standards.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know that there is a big movement, right, to bring the federal, to bring a federal voucher system. As if state vouchers were not bad enough, we're now going to propose federal vouchers. Federal vouchers, federal money to parents federal vouchers to private schools, federal vouchers to homeschools. What does that mean? Come on now, we already know what ESSA does to the states. We know what No Child Left Behind did to the states. Can you imagine federal money in the form of vouchers to the parents, homeschool parents and private schools? And now all of a sudden, anybody who receives these federal vouchers is now mandated to federal standards. See, that's what ESSA does. It is not returning the autonomy to the states. It is a hidden, deceptive mandate on the states. There are people who are experts who read this. There's over 1,000 pages of ESSA. Lamar Alexander says, no, it ends Common Core. It ends the control of the states. It does not. It does not. See, this is how federal laws work. We showed this with NDAA. We showed this with a bunch of other things. And what they do is they state a particular desirable statement in the first page. And then they spend 1,059 other pages contradicting the statement in the first page through legal loopholes and ifs and ifs and thens, and if you take this then and if you do this then, and completely undermine the statement in the beginning. ESSA requires that the states submit a plan, an education plan, that must be coordinated with 11 federal statutes, including the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, which is a Marxist-style education program, Education Sciences Reform Act, which is about collecting student data for research, the Child Care and Development Block Grant Act, which adds to the Head Start requirements on preschool standards, and the National Assessment of Education Progress Authorization Act, which governs a test that is aligned with Common Core standards. It requires that the states come up with high standards and accountability. These are the buzzwords of Common Core. What are those high standards? Well, the high standards, they say, are whatever the states want the high standards to be. But the high standards must be in compliance with the tests that are going to be given. And the tests will be consistent with Common Core. It is absolutely everything it says it's not. They realize that Common Core and the people that have educated about Common Core have made Common Core toxic. And so they try to change the branding of it, change the naming of it. But you see, all the Common Core people who are proponents of Common Core standards, and mandating these standards on the states, were not unhappy with ESSA. They were jubilant. Absolutely jubilant. Education Secretary Arne Duncan expressed joyful incredulity at how wonderful ESSA turned out to be from the administration's point of view. Quote, Arne Duncan says, "I'm stunned at how much better it ended up than either the House or the Senate bill going into conference. I had a Democratic congressman say to me that it's a miracle. He's literally never seen anything like it." Duncan says the substance of this law, embedded in the law, are the very values that we promoted and proposed forever. He says the core of our agenda from day one, it's all in there. All the standards, the high standards. He's talking about Common Core. For the first time in our nation's history, Arne Duncan says, that's the letter of the law. It is, according to Peter Cunningham, Arne Duncan's secretary, Lamar Alexander's PDF on ESSA, the Secretary of Education says, is shamefully misleading. This is what Arne Duncan's office published after Lamar Alexander's little PDF. He says, the new law that the senator from Tennessee is so proud of, the Every Student Succeeds Act, now mandates the very thing he rails against. Under the new law, every state must adopt college and career-ready standards. Thus, the new law all but guarantees that Common Core state standards, or a reasonable imitation under a different name, will likely remain in place in most states. I want you to listen to that language, though. Will likely remain in place in all states. Why likely remain? Not mandated. Because remember, the states don't have to take this money. If they refuse the money that comes with ESSA, then they do not have to comply with the regulations. The problem here is not ESSA of itself. The problem here is that the states won't refuse federal money. And so they have to accept federal encroachments. Our children are being dumbed down. Our children are being force-fed Marxist education. The establishment Republicans are all behind it. I'll let you in on a little secret, because Common Core is Jeb Bush's baby. Common Core is a Bush thing. And so the establishment Republicans cannot be opposed to Common Core, even though they run around acting like they are, putting on their little I'm against Common Core mask. They can't, because they cannot oppose the Bush dynasty, because the Bush dynasty is all in favor of Common Core. I live in Florida. I know this. I've seen this to be true. My husband has been working with a group trying to end Common Core in Florida. And they have personally spoken to Republicans who said, you know, I'm totally with you. I am so opposed to this Common Core thing. I wish that I could do something about it, but I can't say anything bad about Common Core while Jeb Bush is running for president. So if your establishment Republican is talking about ESSA and talking about Betsy DeVos and about how great she is and how she's going to end federal control over the states and how she's going to free and move towards school choice, they're lying to you. Because you see, it's all about federal control. There's a great article on Breitbart, how establishment Republicans anchored states to Common Core. If you want to know how ESSA binds all of our states to Common Core, and how now Betsy DeVos's letter mandating compliance with ESSA proves that she is pro Common Core. I mean, 10 years of her history proves she's pro Common Core. And nothing has changed. She's had no epiphany. We've never heard any testimony of a Damascus moment when Betsy DeVos has come to the conclusion that she was wrong for over 10 years. Hey, look, I'm a recovering liberal. I believe as much as anybody that you can have a Damascus moment. You can have a sanctification process. But by goodness, show us how that happened. Because I don't believe this. Oh, right. Okay. Now I was for it before I was against it. Now I'm against it. Why? Because it's politically advantageous. And I believe that so many people have been duped about Betsy DeVos. She is not who she says she is. And now we have once again the resurgence of this idea of vouchers, federal vouchers. Vouchers do not free up school choice. They end school choice. Vouchers from the federal government and vouchers from the state Turn your private schools and your home schools into government-mandated curriculum. Don't you know if you accept a federal voucher homeschooler, if you accept a federal voucher private school, ESSA will be mandated on you. Common Core will be mandated. Oh, maybe they'll change the name to High Standards. But it will be mandated on you if you want to keep that money. And once you become addicted to that funding, make no mistake, it'll be impossible to break free. And the illusion that somehow you're going to be getting money back that you paid into the system, haven't we already learned that lesson from Social Security? Mandated loans from the government, you pay us and we promise we'll pay you back. Vouchers are not you getting your money back. Vouchers are the federal government paying you to be in compliance with their mandates. It's extortion. Stealing your money and then forcing you to comply in order to get it back. That is extortion. And it's not gonna end. Because if we have this overwhelming response to federal vouchers, all of a sudden they're going to have to come up with new revenue to pay for all of this this money going out the door. And you're going to be taxed at an even higher rate somewhere else. My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know, the federal government is so good at what they do. So good. At what they do, trying to make us think that we must have this to survive. Clothed with the pretext of necessity, they said in 1799. You must have this federal voucher so that you can educate your child. Without this federal voucher, your child's education will be in shambles. Your child will be ignorant. They will never get, if you don't get federal vouchers, your child will never go to a good college. Pretext of necessity. You see, it's a negative feedback circle. The federal government makes the standards, then the colleges comply with the standards, and then the students have to take the standards, and then the federal government manipulates the standards, and the colleges follow the standards. It's all government-mandated curriculum. The only way to save school choice is get the federal government out of here, to get government out of your education system. School choice is not more government. School choice is the absence of government in choice. The absence of government in curriculum. And you're not going to fix the government's ideas on curriculum. The government's curriculum and the government's ideas about how our children should be educated began in the 1800s. Wilhelm Wundt, the founder of experimental psychology and the force behind its dissemination through the Western world, his foundational theory of experimental psychology became the basis for teacher training for over 150 years, still today. And he teaches that children are nothing more than a stimulus response mechanism, nothing more than animated meat made up for neurons and electrochemical reactions. Edward Lee Thorndike. 1903, professor of education, writer of 507 books on the methods of teaching, which helped form the basis of teacher training and philosophy today. He said that children are equated to rats, monkey, fish, cats, and chickens, animals that simply needed to be programmed. You go look at your teacher education books. You're going to find out that Wundt, Thorndike, and Dewey are the foundation for our educational system. John Dewey, not the guy who made the Dewey Decimal System, but the one who is heralded as the father of modern education. He's the father of progressive education. He wrote the book Psychology, which is the most widely read and quoted textbook used in schools for teachers in this country. Dewey taught that the primary commitment to literacy was the greatest problem that the American school system faced. He was a signer of the Humanist Manifesto. He said the plea for the predominance of learning to read in early education seems to me a perversion. Undue premium is put upon the ability to read at a certain chronological age. The entertainment plus information motive for reading conduces the habit of solitary self-entertainment. This is why ESSA requires compliance with the Workforce Innovative Opportunity Act and the Education Sciences Reform Act, which is not about science. It's about metadata collection. It's not about education. It's not about teaching children how to think. It's about teaching them what to think. And this is the Humanist Manifesto. This is the Marxist dictate. G. Stanley Hall, John Dewey's professor and mentors, taught that it was better to be illiterate. He said the knowledge which illiterates acquire is probably a much larger proportion of it practical. Moreover, they escape much eye strain and mental excitement and other things, being equal or probably more active and less sedentary. Learn the background of the government education system. There's an article on my website, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future. You'll find out why the government wants ESSA to be pushed, because it is the process that they've been pushing since the 1800s.